Let us pray together. Gracious and holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you alone are our rock, our refuge, and our redeemer. And we offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Okay now? Okay. Today's suggested reading from the book of Deuteronomy invites us to hear instructions about an old tradition that stretches far back into the history of the Jewish faith, a tradition which was meant to accompany a time of harvest celebration. It's interesting for us sometimes, as a somewhat traditional church, to realize the value that traditions can play in our lives. So often we see traditions as empty rituals or as practices that we just go through the motions to accomplish. But in fact, traditions in their best sense are meant to create dynamics within our lives that, and the byproduct of those dynamics can have a profound effect on our view of life and our view of spirituality and our view of the world. As such, it's an interesting passage for us to read about this ancient Jewish harvest tradition on this particular Sunday for a number of reasons. Today, after all, is the first Sunday in the season of Lent. It's also the day of our annual meeting, which will follow our worship service, and it is a day on which we celebrate the sacrament of communion. So I invite us for a few moments to hold all of these different events together. This ancient harvest tradition from the book of Deuteronomy, the start of the season of Lent, the annual meeting of St. Andrew's Church, and our celebration of communion, and realize that there is a common dynamic, a movement that is meant to undergird and strengthen each of these seemingly disparate and different activities. The passage from Deuteronomy is set within a series of commands about laws and practices that the people were supposed to embrace as they settled into and established themselves in the land that they had come to inhabit after their exodus from Egypt and their long journey in the wilderness. And in the opening verses of chapter 26, we read these words: "When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name." They were to present those offering baskets of the first fruits of their work to the priest, and as they did so, they were instructed to remember what God had done for them in the past by reciting and recounting the story of their journey into Egypt and their liberation from slavery. It's profound and important for us to remember that this invitation to remembrance was not just a remembrance of the glory days of the past. Rather, this invitation to remembrance was a remembrance of the difficulties of their lives and the difficulties that they had endured. We read, "When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: 'A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien.'" And with those words, they were to begin to recite the story of their terrible oppression and the ways that God had intervened on their behalf, the ways that God had led them from slavery to freedom, led them from deprivation to prosperity, led them from languishing in the wilderness to liberty in the promised land. And that act of remembrance was meant to move them from simple reflection on the past into a state and a spirit of gratitude in the present. Having remembered what God had done for them in the past, they were to move from remembrance to thanksgiving and generosity, inspired by all that God was doing for them in the present, blessings so abundant that they were able to offer gifts drawn from the first fruits of their labors. It's fascinating for us to realize all these years later that this image of first fruits is a very intentional one. To give of the first of one's fruits in an agricultural society was meant as a way to remind them that there was going to be a surplus left over after they had given their first fruits. In other words, so often we want to give as long as we have something left over when everything else is taken care of. The image of the first fruits is rather the idea that we give first, trusting that God will provide for all else that we need. But their celebration was not meant to end in this act of remembering, and it was not meant to end in the grateful offering of what blessings had been poured out upon them in the symbol of this first fruit. Rather, verse 11 states this, "Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." Did you notice that recurrence of the word alien? They had had to remember that they were aliens in Egypt and had been treated so badly, but now they were called to see that the aliens in their land were to be treated with great hospitality, which is a fascinating movement in this act of remembrance and this act of gratitude. That is, in their remembering, in their grateful offering, there was meant to be a reminder that that remembrance and that gratitude was to be the foundation for a celebration in community. And it was meant to be a celebration in community in which all people in their community would share in the blessings that they enjoyed. The author of Deuteronomy's specific comment that the celebration was meant to include the Levites and the aliens who reside among you was meant to be a reminder that the act of remembering and the act of gratitude was meant to be a blessing not simply for the givers, not simply for those who had that which they could give, but it was meant to be a blessing for all who were dependent on those gifts and for those who did not necessarily have very much to give. The Levites were that priestly clan who were not given a portion of the promised land, but who were instead to care for the other members of the community in a priestly sense, to take care of their religious and spiritual life. The Levites as such would not have had any agricultural produce to offer, but the gifts of others were meant to provide for the Levites as well. And in a similar way, the aliens who reside among you were those who did not have status in their society, those who were not citizens, those who did not have access to agricultural lands, whose identity was the other, but whose presence in Israel was not meant to lead to exclusion, but rather to embrace. And the Levites and the aliens among you were meant to share in the celebrations in community, these blessings that God had so richly poured out on that ancient people. So we have three movements in this ancient harvest tradition: remembrance, which leads to grateful generosity, which leads to a celebration in community. It's interesting to note that it is this same three components that meet us and shape our understanding of what is about to happen at this very table. That is, the tradition that we know as the sacrament of communion is similarly rooted in remembrance and in a recitation of what has happened in the past. We are called to remember and to recite the story of what happened in an upper room so long ago when this sacrament was first instituted. On the night before he was betrayed, Jesus took a loaf of bread and said, "This is my body, which is given for you." And what did he tell them to do? "Do this in remembrance of me." This is a table which calls us first to remember. Like the ancient people of Israel who were called to celebrate in remembrance of what God had done for their wandering Aramean ancestors going down into Egypt and how God had intervened to bring them to a place of liberation and liberty, so too the followers of Jesus were called to remember and to recite the story of how God in Jesus had intervened in human history to bring them to a place of liberation and liberty from the wages of sin and the consequences of death. And alongside this act of remembering stands the invitation to thanksgiving, to grateful generosity. In fact, at the heart of the sacrament of communion is what we call the great prayer of thanksgiving, or what is sometimes known as the Eucharistic prayer, based on the Greek word for thanksgiving, Eucharistio. We are called to call to mind all of the ways that God has blessed us and this world in the past, in the gift of creation itself, in the covenant made with the people of Israel, in the wisdom and vision of the justice that the prophets saw could take place in this world, in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, in the gift of the Spirit, and in the Spirit's ongoing work in the church and in the world. We are called to not only remember, but give thanks for all these many wondrous blessings. But just as the ancient Israelites' act of remembrance and thanksgiving were not complete in themselves, so too our acts of remembrance and thanksgiving at this table are not complete in themselves. Rather, just as that ancient harvest celebration was meant to lead to a renewed vision of community in which everyone, even the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, would find a place, so too the sacrament of communion is meant to remind us of the gift of community that is in fact formed and reformed, a community in which there is indeed a place for all, which offers us a beautiful opportunity and for the experience that meets us as we celebrate this sacrament today. Because even though we might not look at each other or lump each other into categories like the Levites and the aliens who reside among us, the point is actually the same. This is a table that is meant for all. This is a celebration that is meant for all. This is a sacrament that is meant to be celebrated by all and with all and for all. Remembrance and thanksgiving are meant to form community. And you can experience that even today. As you come up the aisle to receive these simple elements of bread and wine, try to simply be aware. Try to be mindful, be conscious, be grateful that you do not come to this table alone. Look at those who come to this table with you. Realize that they are gifts of God in your life, a community with whom you can share all the joys and all the struggles of this life, a community of young and old, a community of rich and poor, a community of strength and weakness, friends and strangers, citizens and immigrants, long-standing members of this congregation and newcomers to the household of faith. And it is only together that we can be and become what this table intends to make us. That is, it is only together that we can be and become the living body of Christ, strengthened and fed to be in this place and in this world as his people. We will remember, we will give thanks, we will be formed and reformed as the community of Christ's followers at this table, and then we shall go, strangely, into the annual meeting. And once again, actually, this same dynamic will meet us. We will once again remember what God has helped us to be and to accomplish in the past year, and in all the past years of this congregation. Heading into our 190th year, we'll give thanks for the gifts and abilities, the resources and the energy, the people and the groups that have worked together to accomplish so much in this beautiful old congregation called St. Andrew's Church. And we shall rededicate ourselves to being community together, to being a place where all find welcome, where all find inspiration, where all find grace, where all experience the love of God. A long time ago, in a harvest celebration, the people of Israel were called to move through this very movement, to remember what God had done, to give thanks for what God was doing, and to celebrate together in community. At this table, we're called to remember what God has done, to give thanks for what God is doing, and to be formed together to celebrate in community. In the work of the church, we are called to remember what God has done, to give thanks for what God is doing, and to celebrate together as a community. And as we journey into this season of Lent, as we journey together towards the horror of the cross of Calvary and the joy of the empty tomb, we are called to embrace this same dynamic, to remember what God has done for us and this world in the person of Jesus Christ, to give thanks for what Christ accomplished in his life and death and resurrection, and to celebrate together as a community of his followers that we serve a crucified and risen Lord who calls us as a community together to reach out to serve this world in the power of his Spirit and in the incredible joy of his love. So let us remember, let us give thanks, and let us be his people, his community, together in this place for the good of this world that God so dearly loves. Thanks be to God, and amen.